worlds are colliding.
Cari amici sportivi, Vinny T, Stevie P from Milan Weekly Podcast, joined by...
Fellas and bellas, Raf Biz here from the Napoli Rant with my co-host, the Vicar of Vesuvius, Rafa Rispo.
What's up, Raf Biz? What's up, Vinny T? What's up, Stevie P? What's going on, guys? This is
Let's go. Let's talk. Let's not be friendly here. Let's talk. We're going to get to the talking now.
I would just like to take the time to thank you. For giving me and Steve the idea. Since we didn't like the refereeing against Bologna, we decided to sue Serie A for emotional damage. And so thank you, guys. Thank you to Napoli and your fandom for giving us this beautiful idea.
Maybe it'll get the referee suspended for the rest of the season, rightfully so.
Okay. This is the way we're going to start. And I like it. Fire. Guys, this is the first simulcast on both our channels. I know there's been a lot of banter going around Milan, Napoli, from the Champions League to the last game of Serie A. Rafa blaming me for your 4-0 loss because I come to visit him for the first time. You guys miss Osimhen, so everybody, they blame me. So you're welcome, Milan clubs all around the world. But we wanted to take the time to, we'll go through Serie A. Some of the games, especially ours and yours, we'll get each other's feedbacks and comments. And then, obviously, we shall be talking about the final game tomorrow. And we'll see if it gets heated. Steve, I think it's going to get a little heated. But we'll remain respectful. Or people want, we want the clickbait. So we're going to yell at each other and scream at each other. Sure. We shall see. Are you guys ready?
Super ready.
Super ready, man. Super ready.
All right. So, Steve, you know what? Why don't we just get...
Pilli di tromba.
Voi ci avete la trompetta on your podcast. I'm just saying. And so thank you, Steve, for la squilla di tromba. Let's go directly to Milan and Bologna. Let's go to this game here. We're going to talk about the Napoli game after. Get you guys to talk. And Steve... There's been a lot of talks about the turnover, 10-man turnover, whether people want to talk about the refereeing at this game and the blown calls. In the end, it doesn't look like we did so much to merit this win. Bologna scoring off the first play. Were you okay with the 10-man turnover?
No, not really. I'm sticking to my guns from last week. These are games that Milan needs to win. Top four is not secured. Top four is not something that's a guaranteed. Champions League is nice, but the consistency of top four is what they have to go for. And the turnover, unfortunately, it's with people that just don't deserve to be on the pitch. And once again, they showed it again. They just, Origi was terrible. The Ketelaar was not even a Belgian chocolate. It was just Belgian. Boy.
What a sad bust for you guys. I thought that guy was going to be like the new hot name in Serie A, and it hasn't quite panned out that way, right? I mean, even I thought in the beginning of the season.
Some of us still want to believe, but, you know, some of us are hopeless romantics. But how about you guys on the other side looking at a game like this? Would you have did you expect Milan to lose this game, not show up? And we'll go through all the other teams that are playing in Europe. That I call this snooze fest week 30 because there was nothing very exciting. But about any views from your side on this Milan Bologna game?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I bet against Milan. Actually, I bet Bologna to win this one, and not because, you know, there's a couple of reasons. Bologna is a really hot team. You know, we expected a turnover from the Champions League teams and, you know, in Serie A, we very much expected it. But in the manner of which they were talking about turning over, I mean, the 10 players that took the field were like the probable 10 from like 2 days before. So looking at that, you know, I was like, this team is not going to get, you know, I thought they were going to lose, honestly. Not because I wanted them to lose.
Oh, stop it. You wanted to say you're not Scarogna, so thank you for betting on Bologna. You gave us a point. I appreciate it. Thank you, Raf.
It's one. You guys earned the 1 point, I guess, right?
Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, like even looking at the players, Steve, was there anybody that shined?
Shined for Milan? Yes, absolutely not. Come on. Let's be honest here. This is Milan, unfortunately, we're gambling here. We're gambling hard. We're very lucky that the other teams drop points besides Lazio and Inter giving us a humongous gift that we'll talk about after. Roma won, so you'll see that on the next slide. Like this match day could have been wrapped up in like 4 minutes, guys. It was a snooze fest. It was not great for Serie A. And the Milan, there's no one shining on Milan in a 1-1 draw.
You know what, Steve? I like Ryan Percy on Patreon. He's like, am I the only one disgusted how Pioli is gambling with top four, like you just mentioned? He goes, I'm all for rotation, but rotating all 10 outfield players is pure video game strategy. That is really like a video game strategy, but no, a snooze fest and nobody, nothing to write home about. And people want to be on the side of the refereeing calls and anything, but guys, referee calls or not, we didn't perform to like, oh my God, we deserve to win 7-0 this game. It is what it is. Let's just move on. Move on to you guys. What kind of rotation did you guys do, Milan? Napoli, Verona? Take it away.
We didn't quite do a 10-man rotation, but I think we did let some of our best ponies, I think we kind of kept them in the stable, which maybe for Napoli wasn't as bad of a plan considering the cushion that we have right now in the standings. I think Spalletti has enough room to risk something, maybe more than Milan. And I can kind of understand Pioli doing it. A 10-man rotation never really works out. I feel like we've seen this in the past. Spalletti did this once in the beginning of the season. I forgot which team it was.
It was the Coppa Italia against Cremonese.
It was the Coppa Italia, right. So,
the
you know,
entire team was turned
doesn't quite work out. You can't expect that much of a shift and expect to see the same team that you would normally see. But, I mean, guys, you know, we're talking about quarterfinal Champions League. It's pretty obvious that Spalletti and Pioli both want to advance and maybe risking a little bit of some points in the campionato. We could afford it probably, maybe not Milan as much, but it's not like you're such in a desperate position that even if you drop a couple points, I think Milan is enough quality there that they can stay on top, you know, personally.
Ralph, let me ask you this real quick, Ralph.
Sure.
Do you think that if we had heavily rotated, because we, you know, let's be honest, some of our players, Kim and Gisa, they were always playing because they're not playing in the second leg, right?
Right.
But you know, we rested a couple of good, you know, players. But if maybe should we have done the full turnover and Milan concentrate on trying to get top four? Because like Vinny said before, like, you know, and I think it might have been Steve who said it, but you're risking top four for a Champions League just to get to the semifinal. Like Milan are not a lock to win the Champions League. You know what I mean? So it's like they're playing with the hopes of winning the Champions League and saying, you know what? Top four, if we win the Champions League, we're back there anyway, right?
No, they took out that rule, did they not?
No, that's a thing still. Yeah.
Is it still a thing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
There is still 24 points, guys, you know, up for grabs after this game. And somebody had said on our Patreon, on our group therapies, it's like, even if you didn't do a rotation, you think those guys, let's say you start the starting 11 of the Champions League, same thing for Napoli, you think their minds are on Verona? You think their minds are on Bologna? So you can look at it that way there, but A true champion, as Steve always like to say, if you don't have that depth, right, and if you can't perform with these depth players, well, it just shows what kind of quality you have. Steve, I don't know if you agree, you know, like, look at everybody that was, whether it be this week or 2 weeks ago, everybody lost, right? Lost or lost points, thinking of that Champions League game. But does that just show, fortitude of a champion?
No, it shows that Serie A is absolutely in the dinosaur stages and our teams can't afford debt.
But didn't you see Capello?
No one has debt. Napoli just showed this weekend. They don't even have debt. They have injury problems and they don't have depth.
Guys, you agree?
I mean, we have depth, but we don't have a striker right now. I think that was
that's not depth. Then you don't have a striker. That
means but Simeone is injured. Ozgem's injured.
But even when they're there, guys, you don't have depth. Whether you like it, you put your depth compared to Manchester City's depth. Is that depth?
Well,
Manchester City's answer for you, no.
That's a $400 million. That's a $400 million budget.
Well, that's the problem, guys.
But when Ozgem was out and Simeone was completely
that's the problem, guys. I don't know how much more honest I have to be with you guys. That's not depth what we have. We have Shkartins.
Yeah, but you can't
go anywhere else.
I want to just refer to a comment Mark Strupa says. As much as it sucks to say, there's a decent chunk of change on the line in the Champions League. Like I said, every risk is taken with the idea of a reward. And I think both Milan and Napoli have enough room to take a bit of a risk in the Campionato and still rest their highest players or their best players to try to advance in the Champions League. Now, mind you, Milan won 1-0. I don't want to go too far ahead, but, you know, there's this game. It's not in the bag for Milan. You know, it's not in the bag. Like, we're not going to know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, which is great. This is like the most drama we had all season, right? Because, you know, it's been so up. I mean, at least for maybe for Neapolitans, because we got a little comfortable up there and the drama has not quite been the same as the previous two seasons where like everybody 1-6 neck and neck. You know, we haven't really, we do see it 2-4, 2-5 now. But the thing is, when you get three of your strikers hurt, it's hard to compete. We had Elmas as a false nine. This guy's not a false nine. You're not going to score. You're not going to have the same team that doesn't play often together playing the same quality that those 11 titolissimi, you know, have. So in regards to depth, I think Milan may have it. I think Napoli may have it, but you got to use it throughout the season. If you don't use it, you lose it. Because when Osimhen was out, Osimhen and Simeone was scoring, though.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, right? Raspadori covered for, you know, and I saw someone in here saying something about Raspadori's not a striker. It's a proven fact, but Raspadori covered for Osimhen when he was out in the Champions League group stages and got 4 goals in the group stage. So whether he's a striker or not, neither was Mertens, and he scored 26 goals. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you have, you know, Osimhen not able to return yet, right? And we're talking, you know, now I guess if we're talking in terms of this weekend, he was on the bench, but, you know, not ready to start yet. Raspadori's finally back to 100%, but we also lost Simeone. So in the stretch of time, since when we came back from the international break, Napoli were in a striker dilemma where we, like Ralph said, we had to start Elmas as a false nine in the Champions League. But I think that when everyone in your department gets hurt, it's not a matter of depth. It's a matter of the injuries. But I also agree with Steve when it comes to Juve used to have two teams. My dad always used to say Juve can have two teams on the field. Each team could win the Scudetto. One could probably win the Champions League. One could go to the Champions League final, right? That's what City have. That's what, you know, teams
Juve can do that when they fudge their numbers.
You know, so when it comes to do we have depth? I think Napoli and Milan both have a healthy set of depth, but not for an entire team turnover, 10 players on the pitch. Yeah, no, not to do that.
Yeah.
It's quality of depth. You can have bodies to plug in and plug out. It's fine. And again, for Napoli season, you know, for these guys in the chat, yeah, Steve doesn't know what he's talking about. It's okay, guys. I'm okay. You could say whatever you want. The fact of the matter is that the league that we're watching, and maybe Neapolitans, you guys, you just don't want to listen to it because it's nice to be 20 points ahead in the league. But the league is dying, guys. The league is dying. We cannot afford those players. You're going to lose Osimhen. You're going to lose Carvajalia. We're going to lose Leao. It's coming, guys. It's coming. And it's because the league has a problem. And that's why I say we have no depth. Because you take out Haaland at Manchester City, they replace him with Julian Alvarez. He sits on the bench, guys. That's $80 million on the bench. That's like having Osimhen on the bench.
But you know what? At least Serie A is concentrating on commercials that Serie A is back. and then they wonder about it. Wondering about the problems of Serie A, right? I know what you're getting at with the depth, and some people, like you said, people could comment whatever they want, but until things change, but that's a conversation for another day. Did you guys want to go through? Are we done with Napoli, Verona? Because there was nothing to write home about. Another snooze fest on this one.
Osimhen came back and lit the energy back up and, you know, slammed the crossbar another inch lower, and it was a 1-0, and we're not talking about a draw. The team looked okay. It was essentially the first half was definitely a snooze fest. I mean, really not much to write home about. Biz, what do you think?
Again, you know, when you put in, what's his name? Zidaka?
Zidaka, yeah.
Zidaka, yeah, when you got Owen says the number the 9. You know, what are you going to get from that? You know, Zidaka, this guy was just removed from the youth team. He's playing on the right wing. It was a throwaway game. And I think that goes for Pioli and Spalletti, in my opinion.
Throwaway game for Napoli.
You could have afforded it. It's not that much of a game. We could not afford it.
But you're still in it, though. It's not, you know.
We're still in it because of other teams.
Yeah, exactly.
And let's talk about.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about losing at home for a third straight game in a row. Steve, I don't even know if they could have bought a goal. At the end, they were trying everything. It's not like they played bad, Inter. I didn't find they played bad. Monza capitalizing that one chance, but it just seemed... I always remember you always saying, Steve, especially when Milan was going through that really, you know, during the banter years, it's like you would say, these little teams, now they show up at Milan and go, oh, yeah, of course we could beat them. Look how bad they've been playing. Is this what's happening at Inter? Monza coming up with the one... And thank you to Monza, because... 2 points away now from Milan. What do you think about this game?
This is Pazza Inter. Very, very summarized, very elegantly by all Inter fans on Twitter. And it's exactly that. It's a crazy team to watch. They put together a nice display against Benfica in the Champions League. They're up 2-0. They come back home now. And then against Monza. You should not be losing against Monza after the hype of what you did against Benfica. So, again, this is Pazza Inter. It's beautiful to watch.
And looks like his job is on the line. But if they qualify, you know, it's hard to say. What did you guys think of? I don't know if you're able to watch. I know we like to... That's one thing all Serie A teams have in common. We like to hate on Inter. Us especially, because it's, you know, it's our rivals. But what did you guys take away from this game? Any thoughts?
From Inter Benfica?
No, from Inter Monza. The Monza game.
To be honest, they lacked everything you need. You know, they lacked everything, Inter. Like it was such a night and day between the team that beat Benfica and this team. Like, and the thing is did they really turn over a lot? I mean, I don't know. They started Correa, I think. But Monza is always going to be scrappy and always going to be like, you know, in there. I think they've already achieved like safety in Serie A, apparently. Like, I'm pretty sure. But, it's funny too, because it didn't an ex Inter player score the winner? Was it Caldirola? Was that him that scored the winner?
Yeah. An ex Inter
player. And it had to have felt pretty good for Berlusconi and Galliani to get that win against Inter at the Meazza San Siro. Like, that's, I mean, if that's not, you know, poetic justice from them, like, you know, we're gonna go into our old stadium and beat our old rivals and possibly create a new one. But I mean, is it really fair though to, because of the recent play and because of their, and their stretch of bad play goes beyond these last three games at home. You're looking at what, 7 now in the league that they haven't won, I think straight. It might be.
Is that Inter?
Yeah.
11 losses so far?
11 losses altogether. Like, they didn't string 11 losses in the last three seasons before
this. They had a pretty bad March.
Yeah, and also, you know, but even with notwithstanding that, right? You got Napoli who dropped points. You got Milan who dropped points. You got Inter who lost. But look at the rest of the field. Benfica lost their third game of the season. You know, Chelsea. Chelsea's terrible. You know, and then you got who else that dropped points? It was Bayern Munich who dropped points 1-1 to, I think it was Hoffenheim. The only teams that won their games were City and Real Madrid that were still left in the Champions League. I think that's a clear indication that these teams really count on the Champions League this season, because it feels like anybody on that left side, our side of the bracket, has a real chance of winning it, because in a one-off in a neutral site, anything can happen. So I would like to believe that Inter are like concentrating on qualifying. I mean, they have a nice lead. They probably could have played a little harder against Monza, but also they're just, are they that good? Can you believe that Inzaghi could be fired even though they got them this far in the Champions League, possibly winning another Coppa Italia, won the Supercoppa against Milan? Like, and he can be fired in this season, which is crazy to me. Absolutely crazy.
Oh, we love to see the struggle, even though we struggle as much as sometimes.
I'm sorry. There was a comment in the chat here from Web Mutt saying no team that is playing in Champions were concentrated on the Campionato. And it sounds like a cop-out excuse, but I'm going with it because there is a mental aspect.
It shouldn't be.
No, but we can go with it, Rafi, because we're so far ahead in the league.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, though. I get it, but you got to understand there's still it's still relevant, though. You know, not to mention teams like Inter, Milan, Napoli, all these top teams now, they have so many games, so many competitions that they have to manage, that they have to juggle. And these lower teams, they play once a week, and that's it. And when they play against the top teams, for them, it's like a final. And they're going to play like a final. They're going to play accordingly, right? Because for their fans to beat these teams, it's like winning the championship. I mean, come on. Where's Monza going to go this year? You know, where's Monza going to go next year? We haven't seen him in such a long time in Serie A. All right? These games are big. But these games are big draws for them. And they're going to want to perform. It means a lot to their clubs. So, yeah. If Inter and Milan and Napoli are not 100% full, doesn't mean that they came into this weekend in the Campionato that they wanted to lose. It wasn't that. But if their minds are elsewhere, they have a big match. The future of their Champions League this season is you know, next Tuesday. It, to me, I can understand why they're not 100% focused on the Campionato. I can understand it. And there's money on the line. There's prestige. There's lots of things. I mean, yeah, one can say that the league is dying, but here's three teams, you know, in these knockout stages from Italy, and we're all going to play each other, you know? So
the league may be dying in certain aspect, like Steve mentioned earlier, like with, you know, financials and all the scandal and crap that they're going through. But I'm sorry, on the pitch, I don't think it's dying at all. And I understand why people would say that, because they're top teams in the European competition. Look at Juve, how far they are in the Europa League, and look at where they are on the table. Even with their points penalty, they're so many points away from Napoli, right? If Roma's in and out, who knows? Fiorentina in the Conference League, they're just starting to figure their stuff out, right? They got a late resurgence, but they're pretty down in the table. Inter and Milan, they're losing left and right to these smaller teams. I think it's a testament to the league how no team is a surefire win anymore. Not even apparently now, not even Cremonese, you know, but to be fair and honest, you got teams like Monza. You got, look at Udinese, how they started. They're a tough team. I know they lost today 3-0, but they beat Roma the first game 4-0. You know, Salernitana can pull stuff off. They beat Lazio this year. Monza and what they've done. Lecce and what they've done. Sassuolo beat Juve again at home. Like for me, that's good for the league, because overall, nothing's sure. Nothing's for sure, right? I mean, we know how strong Milan and Inter's first teams are. They could win Scudetti. They just did. Right. But now this, like, all of the teams are so hungry to stay in Serie A or to get a European spot. I guess, you know, I think that's where, when they do the commercials at Serie A's back, that I also think that was a little premature. I think, you know, let's see if everybody can qualify out of the quarterfinals first. Then we could say Serie A might be back. But I think as a whole, the competition is very fierce and probably one of the best in Europe, in my opinion. You know, so
that's like, that doesn't change the fact that you know what, we're gonna move on to the Juve game, but until everybody starts getting new stadiums, things are always gonna stay the same, because that money that you're making from the attendance, you gotta pay back the city. Anyways, we could be talking about this for a long time. I know what you're saying, like, you know, the competition on the pitch. But in the end, when your best player, you can't offer him $7.5 million, where a Brighton and Albion can give you 10 just because of TV rights, we're in a completely different planet, guys. Inter, Juve, and Sassuolo. Steve, Fagioli, your favorite player, ha fatto un errore gravissima, but the Juve losing to Sassuolo on this one, another snooze fest of a game. Any takeaways? I tried to watch, Steve. I really tried.
Someone gave them back their 15 points because I'm fed up of them filling up my stupid line with their crying and just give it back to them.
Let them have it. I don't care.
Give it back to them so we could all be in peace and the Neapolitans can enjoy their 20-point lead and we can enjoy Champions League success.
If they do, Levon said, if Juve get back their 15 points, all hell is breaking loose. I agree. It's going to be embarrassing.
If Juve,
they're not going to get it.
The only reason I want them to have it back,
the league is dead because of shit like this. It's not dead because Milan, Inter, and Juve are not winning, as somebody said it, bro.
But the only reason why I want them to have their points back is exactly for what Steve said. Let them stop talking, because all they keep talking about is, oh, when we get our 15 points back, and then when we beat Napoli, it's going to be Meno Nove. And no, apparently it's not. You know, look at the table.
You can't give this team 15 points. I feel like I repeat myself every single time to these idiots that keep on talking on the internet. If a league took 15 points away from you in the middle of the fucking season, do you actually think they're going to give you back those 15 points? Second of all, when you got these 15 points taken away, your games that you're playing are played completely different. So enough of these 15 points back. And when your whole fucking board of directors, everybody leaves, what 15 points? And I get Steve is saying, because no voglio più sentire Juventini, 15 punti. You guys, you cooked the books, you got fucking caught. That's it. That's all. Enough. Crap.
It's going to be more.
But I think in the end, we want to give them back so we can't hear them.
No, it's going to be more later. They're not going to be in Serie A next year, man. Watch.
Can I ask you? I have a conspiracy theory question. I want to bring it to Vinny and Stevie. All right.
All right.
If Inter and Milan don't make top four, does the league give back Juventus their 15 points to try to get one of the big three in the Champions League next season?
No.
Hypothetical conspiracy.
And I know it was a question for Stevie and Vinny, but I'll answer it. No, it's got to go through the proper courts and appeals. Like, and that's going to take forever. First of all, they can't get
I don't trust anything coming out that.
Well, country. But the decision is on Wednesday, Ralph. The decision whether they get the points back or not. Yeah, the 19th. Wednesday.
I'm a little ignorant.
The problem is that even if they get those points back, right? Let's say they get those 15 points back. After the season's over, they may be docked another 40 because of all the other stuff that happened.
40?
Right? Yeah, that's a real thing.
Yeah, there's been some other stuff.
We're looking at a possible 55-point dock.
So, guys.
Prison.
Prison
for sure. Yeah, yeah.
No, prison. That's the court case. I think it's called Tazo Prism, like the card.
Right.
Oh, I don't know, guys. Yeah. I joke with this. But again, this goes again. People, they say it's because Milan, Inter, and Juve are not winning. Guys, it's not that. Guys, I know it's a Napoli and Milan thing. So I see the things in the thing. First of all, I'm the least guy that you're going to rile up and troll. That's number one. So save your typing. I'll tell you right now. The other thing is, because I really care about Serie A, I really care about Calcio. And I love the rant podcast that you guys do for Naples. And I enjoy doing Milan weekly podcasts for Milan. But we do English content for a league that doesn't even know how to type in English. That's why it's dying. They don't know how to market. That's why it's dying. They don't know how to create and fulfill infrastructure. That's why it's dying. And to be very honest with you, wet mutts, Napoli has been irrelevant for the past 20 years, guys.
Define irrelevant. I mean,
the last time you won something. Let's say tell your viewers the truth.
Okay, but relevancy.
No, let's not go away from the question. just make my point. You've won the last time you won something.
You want to get technical? The last time we won something was 2000. We won 2020. Okay, 2020. We won the Coppa Italia.
Okay, so I'll give you. When did you say 2000? You won the
Coppa Italia? No. It was 2020. Coppa Italia 2020, 2014, and 2012. Coppa Italia, three under De Laurentiis, the Supercoppa under De Laurentiis, four trophies under De Laurentiis, right? That's what we won. We won something. Well, okay. Last time we won a Scudetto, because I don't like when people say something, because something is a cup.
Okay, right? Then let's say Scudetto.
Okay, Scudetto, 1990.
1990. So that's a long time ago. Right. Champions League.
None.
Never won the Champions League.
So, Wet Mutts, you respect the seven-time Champions League winners, and that's Milan. 19-time Scudetto champions, that's Milan. That's why I do this podcast. Not because I know or not know what I'm talking about.
Well, what if we talk about like 2010 to 2020?
I have no problem with that, Vin.
The first people that were
done this podcast for 10 years with Vinny through the shit of the
Not to take away your work.
But the people need to understand this because you cannot type it on Twitter. So people come on here, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Or he's this and he's that. It's 10 years. I've done it through the shit of the shit. And last year, number 19, I laughed because that, guys, is the worst team that Milan has ever fielded to win a Scudetto. Minus a player, we won a Scudetto. We were dead for 10 years, and no other team besides the crooks were able to do anything. Till Inter did something. So that's why I get frustrated at the league. It's not my fault that your owner didn't want to spend when you guys had the money. It's not my fault that Roma couldn't keep their players because they were getting screwed by Calciopoli. But fast forward 10 years, Inter wins a Scudetto and Milan wins a Scudetto. Not Napoli, not Lazio, not Roma.
Yeah, but the 10 years prior, we're sitting almost right. We're the anti-Juve for
no one cares about the anti-Juve because you still lost. But you still lost, guys.
I get it. But we're talking about a new era of Napoli, and we had to build this stability. We had to build all this.
Are we
the top team yet? Maybe not quite, but we're on our way there. And
in the end,
this was after a financial collapse, a recession in the world.
Yeah, you got to look at where Napoli came from.
You got to look at it as a whole. I had Rye International. They only show three teams. Juve, Inter. So when you're getting all of the attention, it's really hard to grow the whole league. This shit has been a culmination of 30 years of fucking Italy, right? Sucking the teat of Milan, Inter, and Juve. And that's it. They gave no support to anybody else. 2006 comes along. Juve ruins everything. 2008, recession comes. Italy is considered a big country, needs to get bailed out by the European Union. They have no money. You have no infrastructure. Napoli's the only one climbing slowly but surely, staying stability. How many teams went from Serie A to Serie B or Serie C at that time? And Napoli, with practically nothing, with a team full of nobodies, competed with the best.
How many teams can you say?
I'll give you the history. I'll give Milan the history.
But there's not even the history. It's also the today. It's this season that.
But today we're 20 points ahead, so we're doing
everything else. No one else cares about Biz. I'm sorry, no one else cares.
They don't care because they don't want to face reality. The fact that things are messed up, and we are trying to do the right
thing. Apparently, they're not messed up. Apparently, they're only messed up because Milan, Inter, and Juve are not winning.
Well, that's somebody else's opinion.
But that's what I'm trying to tell you. I don't care that Napoli is 20 points ahead. Good. They're playing the best soccer. I have no problem with that.
The best team in Serie A. I have no problem with that.
Tell me the league is not dead. And the league is just dead because my Milan is not good. That's Twitter stuff. That's baby stuff. Yeah. I don't need a financial degree to understand that Italy has a problem financially. Right. My 10-year-old could figure out that Italy has a financial problem and will have a financial problem for years to come.
Okay.
And the problem is that's what it is, guys.
They don't want to evolve. The country doesn't want to evolve.
Doesn't want to evolve. So that's not my fault. That's not your fault.
But I'm not blaming you, but that doesn't make Napoli irrelevant. Like it
but they have still been. Relevant. They have been irrelevant.
Okay, let's put it this way. Let's put it this way, and I'm gonna take the words coming out of Steve's mouth exactly. We want to talk about Serie A is back. We want to talk about seven out of these final eight teams are from Serie A. Guys, what is going to be remembered? The winners of these competitions. So you could be the winner. You could
and
be
this year. The winner will be Napoli,
and they will be remembered.
And that's but let's say the to only say, like, way you become relevant in this league is by winning.
We called it the miracle Scudetto last year.
Yeah?
In no way, shape, or form did we say we were the best team in Serie A last year.
This year, I think you were. I think you were.
But everybody else sucked. So for me, let's put it this way. This year, Napoli, even if Milan, Inter, haven't dropped as many points, or even you for that matter, you guys are still first. Because you've been playing fantastic. And we said it, mea culpa, me and Steve, at the beginning of the season. We didn't even put you guys top four. And boy, were we wrong.
Nobody here to see. We've forgiven that. Yeah.
We're the only ones that I had us in three, maybe four, but nobody had us. Nobody outside of Napoli fans.
There's some people, Rafa and Biz, that are coming out of the woodwork.
At the beginning of the year, I had Napoli at the top. And they all sit at a beautiful desk and they say, yeah, Napoli's playing. I knew Napoli was going to play fantastic football. Mm-hmm. My fucking balls. Mm-hmm. My balls.
I can tell you two specific people. I won't name them, but I know two people that absolute Napoli fans that absolutely said, why not us this year? And we all were like, you're out of your mind. You're out of your freaking mind. And look what's going on. Right. I mean, they were the only two, Ralph, you know who they are. They're the only two that
here's the deal. It was a big shock when we sold who we sold. Obviously, we sold the pillars of the squad, and it wasn't people that just played 2-3 years. I mean, we're talking about 8 years, 10 years for 8 years for Koulibaly, 10 years for Mertens, 8 years for Mertens, 10 years for Insigne. You know, then you had Ruiz, then you had Ospina. So everybody's looking like, what the hell is going on here? You know, so I understand why people were worried. I don't blame them. But there was a point that me and Rafa were like, all right, hold on here. Let's take a moment. Let's see what they do in the market. Because everybody forgets that the league started a little earlier. All the teams didn't have their pieces in place yet. I mean, we were starting the campeonato. We didn't even have the full team yet. We didn't
Our first game was Verona, and Simeone was still on Verona. You know,
right?
Juve played Sassuolo right after that. Ralph, remember that? And actually, that's funny because those were the two games this past weekend as well, right? Mm-hmm. Juve played Sassuolo, and Raspadori started for Sassuolo. If you remember,
right.
We did not have our team yet. It was
the season started early.
We had Petagna and Unas on the field.
We didn't finish them because here's the deal: De Laurentiis, he goes like for like. If he's going to sell somebody and then buy somebody, not the other way around. He doesn't buy somebody then sell somebody. He gets the wages off the books and then he brings people in. So he had to take care of all that first, and then right after he did that, immediately he went out to buy people. Cavada and I think Oliveira were a lock even before the season started.
Yes,
Kim was already in talks. He knew he was getting the money from Chelsea. Fabian Ruiz, he knew he was going to get money. He was trying to get money off this guy for two seasons. And I think COVID hindered that a little bit. So when you take it all, you have to look back and say, all right, let this guy cook a little bit. Let's see what he brings in and let's see what he can do with the team. So it required a little bit of patience. But once that happened, you know, the rest is history. So now I don't blame people because you're going to get emotional. But at the same time, you got to let everything happen first, and then you can make
right.
it.
Okay, so. Right, but given that, Raf, we still didn't think they were going to win a Scudetto, bro. Like the players we brought in versus the players that left, you know, one of the things, guys, Milan, one of the things we said, right, maybe I said it, I said maybe this is something we needed. This was before the season started. Those guys left, the old guard left, and I was one of the only ones that said, everybody was scared shitless, but I was one of the only ones that said, Biz can attest to this, maybe a change is needed. Maybe a change in mentality is needed. These guys are of the old mentality that we come so close, but we can't make it. Insigne is crying of losing a Supercoppa, you know? And, you know, let's see what the new guys can do, but I was definitely on the four cusp, right? but not a Scudetto. I mean, geez.
So, okay. Scudetto, nobody thought about it. And we're going to talk because we're going to go straight into Champions League and what we're feeling. So, Scudetto, definitely, you know, congratulations in advance because I don't see you guys, losing 7 games in a row. Let me ask you this.
I love that we're gonna try to calculate it though. That's funny.
I have a calculation for the after if you guys
remember. Or remember when they lost against Lazio and everybody's like, okay, guys, they lost against Lazio. And we're like, so? Yeah, but now there's no opening, guys.
There's no opening. Let me tell
you.
We're
trying to figure out when to buy the plane tickets.
Let me tell you really quickly.
That's what it is.
Napoli win 2 more games with a Lazio loss and draw or 2 losses in the next 2. Napoli Campione d'Italia. That's Rafa, it.
You already won. We don't need no calculation. It's fine. Now, Champions League. I want to talk. No, you know what? I will address it. I will address it because you guys are down to earth, and I want to get your opinion.
Do it.
In no way, shape, or form does this only happen with Napoli fans. I want to get your take. We like bantering each other, like play fighting, whatever. What happened with Theo Hernandez on social media and from the comments from the Napoli fans coming on? No, I'm not. You know what? I'm not even mad at stuff like, you know, the Napoli fans are going to show up in front of the hotel and make noise. It's part of the game. And, you know, you can't really like, oh, look at those Napoli fans. Why is it that these kind of things seems that most often is Napoli fans being... I mean, you read more about Napoli fans and we ain't no saints. Juve fans ain't no saints. Inter fans ain't no saints. But these kind of things like what happened to Theo Hernandez. I wanted to get you guys' opinion. I wanted to, because I think we're going to have a conversation about it. What did you guys feel or think when you saw that stuff going on social media?
Well, first of all, there's no room for that. None. You leave the kids alone. You leave the family alone. No room. So whoever in the camp of Napoli or whatever fans, and I use that term very loosely, quote unquote, right, did that, they should never be able to listen. They get it. They do it for clicks. They do it for likes. They do it for amusement. They do it for, you know, I'm convinced that fans just want to like win a Scudetto. Certain fans are out there just to want to win the Scudetto, just to like gloat on social media and just throw it out there and be able to like have this clout on social media. Meanwhile, real fans want to celebrate with their friends in person, want to fly to Italy, want to be with the people. You know, it's a very like, you know, I guess a political correct thing to say when I say that every fan base has it and, you know, those people are not real fans. But I think it's true, man. Those people have no – there are so many messed up people on social media. And it's not – Vin, we talk about it all the time. Wrestling Twitter sucks, right? So does Calcio Twitter. And that means Napoli, Milan, Inter, Juve, Roma, Lazio, Atalanta, Fiorentina. They all suck, bro. Twitter is a good outlet to like promote yourself. And there are some really good people out there. Then there are some really messed up individuals that only care about the fight that they get into with another rival team or some of the same team. There's factions off, right? I don't condone what was said about Theo Hernandez's child the same way. I don't condone what, Juventus fans said about Bonucci's kid when he was sick. I don't remember if you guys remember when Bonucci was with Milan and his kid was sick.
Yep.
They said, oh, who cares? He's a Torinese anyway, because Bonucci's kid is a Torino fan. They have banter back and forth because he played with Juve and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, that he's a Belotti fan. He no longer
Belotti fan. Okay, so because he's a Belotti fan and he's a 4-year-old kid and he's sick, that means he needs to die? No. But what I want to say in rebuttal.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah.
Yeah. What I want to say in rebuttal to that, right, is that now everybody knows Napoli hates Juventus. Juventus, you know, they hate Napoli, but they don't really regard each other.
Really? Yeah.
Don't you just a little, right?
But I just feel that maybe this might have if it would have happened to anybody, let's say it was the other way around, you're lighting a fire under someone's ass, yeah. right? Are you giving that motivation? And you know what? Even, you know, I'm seeing the comments. Yes, Milan fans that did it to Berardi. This and I just wanted to get.
Yeah, that. And listen, and some deranged Napoli. I saw more of the opposite. But you guys remember when Juve fans got trampled in Turin in the piazza in Turin when they watched the it was the 2015 or 2017 Champions League final against Real Madrid, and there were Juventini in the piazza and there was a stampede of some sort and some fans got crushed. I don't remember if there were some fatalities, but there was a lot of injuries. And I remember seeing a lot of Napoli fans come out and say, oh, pray for, you know, fans in Turin. That's wrong. Kids shouldn't have to be afraid to go watch a game in a piazza with their parents, you know, stuff like that. I saw more of that than I saw the banter of, you know, oh, well, they're stinky ass Juventini anyway.
Yeah.
So there's there's vile pieces of garbage on social media, all platforms out there. And sadly, they get more of the push in social media than the guys who actually really are genuine and care and good. And you know what I mean? Like they get more of the follows, the likes, the retweets, the shares, the clicks, the this, the that. And we sit here fighting week in and week out. You guys know
to get views,
to do the what we want to do and promote ourselves. And I don't give those pieces of shit any time of day. Napoli, Milan, Inter, Juve, Roma, Lazio, Atalanta, anybody. I don't care who you support. You don't get any time from me. None.
I like it. So
I got a quick general. Yes. Were you gonna, yeah, I want a quick general response and then we can move on to the
okay, quick general response. And then
my general response is that social media, especially Twitter, it's just a toxic hellhole of shit.
A cesspool.
Okay? Yeah. It's a cesspool. I don't care where you're from. I don't care what the subject is. It's a terrible, terrible place. I'm only on there to help promote the show, honestly, and also help to promote, you know, all the other small content creators. I put a tweet. It's funny you ask because I put a tweet today. It's so funny how the trolls in the world, all these negative people get all the attention, and then here we are, busting our asses, paying, because I know StreamYard costs money, right? And we give up our time and we give up and we put our faces up on here. We're vulnerable. We give our opinions. We try to promote the leagues. We try to promote the teams, but not even a retweet, not even a share, not even a quote, all right? Whoever threatened any Napoli Don that threatens somebody's son, you're a dirtbag. I don't care what team you root for. I don't care where you come from. And whatever, because there was other things. Oh, this guy smells like piss and this is a toilet and you're full of cholera and blah, blah, blah. Shut up. Honestly, you keyboard warriors, shut up. Just shut up. Go back in your room by yourself. Your lonely ass, your sorry ass. Motion. Stay there and stop the zeet. Honestly. And for the rest of you guys reading all this, stop sharing all these trolls, all this negativity. Stop sharing it, because this is the stuff that goes viral. And now we're sitting there judging people. I have a cousin who's a Juve fan. Does it mean he's a racist? No. We're sitting here. We put these two shows coming together. Here we are talking, right? Trying to educate the people. So here we are, supporting.
I have a cousin who's a Napoli fan, but loves the whole league, man. When I say the whole league, I mean the guy watches every minute of every game, top to bottom.
Good for him.
And in Europe, in the league, he just is a super Serie A fan. Obviously, Napoli's his first, but he'll never say a bad word about any team in Serie A ever, ever.
Right.
And that's what we got to keep on, the positivity. Right. Steve, from last game, the 1-0, and I know we're gonna get their opinion on the refereeing calls and the bad calls. But how are you feeling ahead? I know we had spoken about, you know, after the 4-0 win, where you know some of the not all of you, most were like maybe laughing that oh nobody believed Milan can you know beat Napoli. The 4-0. Now this 1-0 tomorrow. Are you feeling how you the I'm not going to say confidence because it's hard to say confident on this one, but we're going into hostile territory. We're going to Naples, and it's been a couple of games where Napoli hasn't played, according to me, to Napoli's quality, what we've seen this year against Milan. What are you predicting for tomorrow?
They need to go and they need to earn their badge, guys. For me, this is all gravy. I didn't think Milan would be able to get to a quarterfinal. I didn't think they would be facing Napoli. I didn't think we would go to Napoli with a 1-0 lead. I think Milan did lose a little bit of momentum at the end once Napoli took the red and we didn't capitalize on some other chances or even didn't even create any other chances. So now we go to Naples, and this is where the kids, they learn how to play soccer, and this is where you learn and you earn that badge that's on your shoulder. You have to go into these types of stadiums again, hostile. Look,
I mean, hostile and hostile. This is what it is. Playing away,
this
right?
is yeah. soccer. You're going to be playing away. Yeah. You're not the home team. It's done. They're not going to be cheering for you. No, that's for sure. So get used to it.
Stevie, let me respond to that. Certainly, Milan are not going to come into the same Stadio Diego Maradona Tuesday than they did last week when they won.
Completely, it's going to be a completely different one. ADL, he patched it up with the Ultras. They're all a happy family. They're going to be singing and everything. Let's go, guys. This is what it is. This is what the Serie A needed. And this is, again, I said it last week. The last week, I'm going to say it again this week. Serie A needs to either grab everybody and before and have like a team meeting, a Serie A team meeting. Say, guys, this is the national stage. So you, ADL, go talk to who you have to talk to at the Ultras and you tell them, pipe it down. No racist bullshit. Don't start.
The eyes of the world are going to be on this game.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the same thing on the Milan side. Maldini, go talk to where we have to talk to. Don't cause any trouble. The eyes of the world are on it. Play, sing, scream, yell, do what you got to do. But this is for the Champions League, guys.
Has Milan administration done it? Because De Laurentiis actually did do that. There was a meeting. I think after the press conference, Spalletti was like, if the ultras or the fans or whoever do that crap again that they saw against Napoli Milan in the Campionato, he's going to walk off the pitch.
Where they turned around. Yeah.
A day, like literally less than 48 hours later, De Laurentiis calls a meeting to find a truce between the ultras, and I think they are planning some type of presentation. By the way, the one that Milan did, shout out to the fans.
I loved it. I thought it was a great
display of fanship. Like, that's what it should be. You know
it
what
should
I mean?
Definitely
like,
be
like I don't mind the banter, the devil going after the Pulcinella.
But that was so fire. Yeah. Right?
But not a lot of people knew what it was, right? It is Pulcinella, right?
It's a Pulcinella, yeah.
It's the character from Naples.
Did you guys hear about some of the Napoli fans that don't really know what Pulcinella is? We're trying to say that's a playoff of Osimhen with the map.
Like, you guys gotta Google some shit, man. But listen, that type of display is what the league needs. It's good for the good for competition. It's great to see. I hope we see something similar with Napoli, and I think they are planning something. And I even think that ADL might fund some of it, from what I understand. He might
He's
be giving
spend
a little
money.
Bit. Yes, it's incredible.
Yeah, you believe that? Yeah, yes.
Where is ADL and what'd you do with him? Because
I think
he's
lining
this is
the distinti seats. I think he's lining the distinti seats with blue flags, dude. Like the whole stadium's gonna be blue. Guys, listen, this is gonna be an atmosphere.
Sorry, before you get into it, I'm sorry. What year was it you guys had different movie posters as sponsors?
Oh, that was the first Serie C season, 2004-05.
No, Sin City. You had Sin City at one point.
Yeah. It was at day eight. Yeah, that was it. That was it. It was our first season in Serie C. It was right after Fallimento. Napoli, guys, when I say.
I thought it was more recent.
No. Oh, no. That was in 05. No.
Okay. Back to Champions League.
We've been wearing Lakers since 06.
So. Since 06. Okay. So, how about you, Rafa? I know. You know, even Steve said it last time with Osimhen on, it's a completely different game. You know, the refereeing, it is what it is. It happened. So who's not playing? Anguissa
and Kim.
So you're looking at what Milan, you can't look at what Milan did against Bologna just the way we can't look at what Napoli did against Verona.
Right.
How are you feeling about this game here, and what do you think it will take for Napoli to get, you know, that one goal to go to extra time or two goals to pass? What do you think it's going to need?
It's going to need Victor Osimhen. That's it. Like if you ask me, I'm very much more concerned. We are going to get into the refereeing, right? I'm very much concerned with Kim missing out more so than Anguissa, because I think Napoli have the counter to Anguissa. I think Elmas can provide. I think Ndombele can also provide. I actually really like to see Ndombele start.
He may get the nod.
I think I would like to see him start. I would like to see him start. But when it comes to the off the defense, right? When you look at Kim was the literal plug and play for Koulibaly, right? He's widely regarded as one of the best center backs, if not the best center back this season in the world. Not overall, obviously. You know, you need a little more accolades for that. But for this season, best. And he's going to be a presence that's missing. Now, we talk about Juan Jesus coming in, right? And I heard someone say something that Juan Jesus started in seven matches prior to Verona, right? And we won all seven. Same thing with no Osimhen. We won all seven games without Osimhen as well. Okay, fine. They were under very different circumstances, in my opinion. And Juan Jesus was next to Kim Min-jae for all those seven games, right? Because Rahmani had an injury. Now you have Juan Jesus, who started again with Kim Min-jae. And, you know, for all intents and purposes, I think Juan Jesus looked fine where he was with Kim. But this is the first time he's going to start a match, even maybe even play minutes with Rahmani next to him. So where's that, you know, duo going to end up? But in my opinion, as long as Victor Osimhen is there to distract the defense from Kvaratskhelia being triple teamed, and Kvara is able, or Mary or Oliveira, whoever plays, is able to send the ball into Victor with some height, then Napoli should be fine. Honestly, I say this as an analyst, not even as a Napoli fan. I say this as an analyst. Victor Osimhen,
you could say it as a fan. It's fun. That's what we're for.
No. Listen, as a fan, I think we're going to win like 3-0. But as an analyst, I want to win 3-0. But as an analyst, when I don't think the removal of Anguissa and Kim negatively balances, like is a negative on the balance when it comes to Osimhen being back. He's such an important part to this team. He came on in the 73rd minute, Ralph Biz, the 74th minute.
Right.
And with 10 minutes left, he rattled that crossbar. He made an instant impact. And you could kind of see, because Kvara came in too. He didn't start. He came in. But you could kind of see once Kvara had Osimhen in there, like this release from Kvaratskhelia, you could just tell radiated through the screen. And I felt it in my clippers, right, while I was cutting hair. You could just see that. Oh, okay. Here we go. It's on. And if not, maybe if Osimhen came on a little earlier, might have had a 1-0. If we had another 10 minutes, could have won that game. But I think that's going to be massive for Napoli. Another factor is Osimhen hasn't really played against Milan. I think he's only played one game against Milan since he's been at Napoli. Don't ask me what we did that game because I don't remember. But you know, this is something Milan has not seen yet. And I think it's going to be a little too much for the defense. I do. And I, this with all due respect, because I think Milan are a fantastic team. I love watching them play when they're on. They're so fun to watch. They are. But as like, you know, as Victor Osimhen comes back, he's easily the MVP this season, and he's going to come through. He's going to come through.
It's funny how none of them mention Steve, like, you know, containing Leao would be something to make sure that we win. Or if you have a Kjaer, Kjaer, that plays the way he played against Harry Kane, you got Osimhen. You know, I'm not saying that it's the same kind of player, but Leao, a split second. You guys have seen him the way he runs, and we need the Leao, not the Leao that Steve, the last 2 months where we've seen it, he wasn't up to par, but we can turn it around. And for do you agree with what they're saying with obviously with Osimhen and the two missing players maybe not having as much of an impact?
No, I think that the two players are an impact, but I think Osimhen is the big changer. I've said it before, he's their release. He's when they're in trouble, they can find him up top, and he's not just a target man. He can create a chance on his own, right? So it makes a big difference. There's just, you know, I don't know what Pioli's going to do. I know that it'll probably be Tomori man-marking him and Kia and Kajar probably playing as a safety that, but guys, it's fine. Like I get what Napoli tries to do, you know, with Osimhen and get him in the box, and you know, and it is dangerous. I think Osimhen is the most dangerous once you give him that space.
Yeah.
On crosses and stuff like that, we have one of the most active goalkeepers. He catches half the crosses that get put in that box, and we've seen it all year. He does come up with big saves. Again, I think this game is won and lost in the midfield, guys. Whoever can control the midfield and whoever has to work the least on recuperating balls is going to dictate play and is going to dictate what the outcome of this is too. Because you know it's fine, the Osimhen, the missing players, but this is 90 minutes. The ball goes in the middle. We start and we play.
And before any of your followers on the comments want a comment of how we pronounce names, that's our thing. Don't get fucking offended. We like to mispronounce.
Salsicha makers, right?
Salsicha maker. We have Kajar. We have Mike Mangione in Nets. You know.
Listen, anyways. You do better than some of the commentators in the world feed. That's for sure.
The time we tried to pronounce, we call them double K. Just go with double K from Napoli. That's nice and easy. But guys,
come on, guys, with me, Kvicha, Kvaratskhelia,
double K. All right, so you want to talk about the refereeing? Let's talk about the refereeing and how we got robbed in the war. Listen, and this, and oh my god, then we're gonna. How's the lawsuit coming?
I like that. That's good.
How's the lawsuit coming, guys? That's emotional.
Listen, a lawsuit is ridiculous, okay?
No, let's forget about that. You cannot
sit there and tell me we don't have some sort of a gripe. I'm not saying
150%, but guys, this is soccer. Is this the first time you see bad refereeing?
Yeah. Whoa, hold on. Let me put in my UEFA demoted this guy.
Yeah, so man. Like, us. Listen, dude.
His employer said, you're never doing this shit again. It was terrible. The way he treated our captain, we didn't lose because of the ref, but we didn't get any help from him. That's the thing.
100%. But to like, don't blame the loss.
Nobody's
on the referee.
Blaming
referee. Raf Biz and Raf Rispo are not blaming the loss on the referee. No, we didn't put the ball in the back of the net. You know who I'm blaming the
Elmas
loss on?
Elmas was our number
you
nine.
You know who I'm blaming the loss on? I'll tell you who I'm blaming the loss on. Mike fucking Maignan. I'm blaming the loss
Mike
on
that Maignan.
Was
my God.
Goddamn this.
I was watching,
I don't even have words for him.
I felt that the way you guys played that game, it's like, oh my god, it's like I'm watching Milan Napoli the 4-0, but it's the roles are reversed. You guys were coming at us and coming out. I remember looking at Steve, and it's like, okay, they're attacking, and then just Diaz, Brahim the Dream, splitting that midfield and coming out of nowhere.
We were in trouble.
And you knew what you guys knew. It was in trouble from there. And there's a save. It was in the 90th minute. You know what it is, guys? When you're watching live, you don't catch it. But that save
you have
that
to watch
he made.
Again.
We rewatched
it.
We say it all the time. Raf Biz and I, we say we got to watch Senza Volume. You know, after the game is over, the adrenaline. When the adrenaline wears off, right? And you're watching live and passionate, and as fans, not as like analysts, you're just kind of like in the minute, in the moment, right? You sometimes forget about things that even happen in the same game, but then you watch it again and you see, and you're like, holy shit, Napoli were down there the whole time. There was only one real chance aside from the goal then the header from Kajar.
We also have two penalties that are not called for me.
I understand that, and I think you have a gripe for at least the one at the end of the game for Lobotka on De Ketelaere, was it? Did he come in? Was it Dekat?
No.
It doesn't matter. But anyway, you have a gripe for one, right?
That
but
header,
I'm sorry.
That header
from when you kick the corner flag on purpose, out of frustration, but Kim Min-jae can't throw his arm in frustration on a foul call, he gets a yellow, but this guy kicks a piece of equipment on the field that in the rule book states that you need to give a yellow card. Then when Chucky Lozano and Teo are fighting for the ball and Teo wins the corner, I get you're passionate, but you want to act like you're Hulk fucking Hogan in front of Chucky Lozano, who's Mr. Perfect on his knees looking up like this, right? And you don't give a card for like unsportsmanlike conduct, at least for like, you know, just dude, they gave us nothing and they turned a blind eye to a lot of the Milan stuff, a lot of it. I'm not saying that you guys didn't deserve to get some calls, because there were a few calls that I saw too that shouldn't have happened. But when Di Lorenzo goes up to the referee and wants to talk about the call, and he doesn't even give the card to Anguissa first. He gives it to fucking Di Lorenzo first. And then Di Lorenzo says,
he's pointing.
I can't talk to you. I'm the captain. And he said, go away, walk away or something like that. And he said, go. Oh, he said, don't talk to me. Because he gave him the yellow. And Di Lorenzo said, what's wrong? What did I do? Don't talk to me. And he goes, I'm the captain. I'm supposed to talk to you. He said, go away. He gives the card to Di Lorenzo first, then Anguissa for the foul. Right?
Okay,
we can argue that the second foul was a foul or not, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that if it's gonna be a way for one thing, it should be the same way for another thing, right?
Let me ask you this: you guys won that game 2-0. You're talking about these, and the same calls are there. You're talking about this referee.
See, I think Ralph and I have had a pretty good reputation in the fact, yes. The referees are terrible. We know how to call that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not afraid to say.
There is no 2-0 without the – you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if the
you know which ref we're getting tomorrow, right? Steve, you know which one we're getting tomorrow?
I really couldn't care. For me, I really don't care. As long as, again, I don't want the ref to be the focal point.
The center of attention.
Right. That's his main job. Right. Is if he could – this guy didn't do his job because he became the focal point of this. If he just chills it down a bit, and maybe he wasn't experienced enough for a quarterfinal match, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to know.
I do know he wasn't. It was his first knockout.
Then that's on UEFA.
That's on UEFA, dude.
We'll find someone. Right. What am I to tell you? You could pick someone from any other country but Italy.
Now that you mention it and I think about it, right? Why should UEFA ban this guy? They appointed him.
Exactly.
That's a good point. I'm taking that side, Steve. I kind of feel bad this guy got banned because they appointed him in the first place, and clearly he's not ready. He did a shit job. He's a piss poor referee. Yes, but why are you banning me? You assigned me to this.
Yeah.
I've never done a shit job. Put him in that place.
You got demoted. They didn't fire him.
But he's like, oh, well, you know, you're kind of taking action. You know what I'm saying, Ralph? Like, they didn't fire him. They didn't say he'd never ref another knockout stage again. He said,
probably not.
You know what? This year, you can't do it anymore. Well, what if he had a master class? He could do it again, but it was still his first, right? Like, it was UEFA that took that chance. Why is UEFA taking a chance on the 8 best teams in the world, according to UEFA Champions League? You should have the 4 best referees taking care of these matches.
So you're saying that is UEFA trying to say, are they trying to save face? Is that what we're talking about?
And then you know what else I heard? And this might make sense too. The Calcio guys brought up a really good shout out to the Calcio guys. I love those guys. They brought up a really good point. If it's Italian versus Italian, why don't you put an Italian official in there? You know what I mean?
Someone who's neutral. Same reason why if you're a cop, you don't get assigned to your neighborhood. It's the same reason. There's bias.
I don't know. Italians have to ref Italian league matches.
Doesn't matter.
They assign.
Yeah, but we're a corrupt league, Rafa. Yeah. You can have more corruption. You know what I mean? We're such a corrupt league. But no, supposedly the referee that we got tomorrow is the one in the African Cup of Nations that time that he put like 19 minutes of extra time.
Oh, and then he has stopped. Here we go. No, so Napoli's going to go up, and then they're going to 20 minutes.
And the Milan Club Montreal chat, one of the guys.
Maybe they were. Maybe
no,
they
no,
were
the picture is there. He's like, Steve, what you saw, it was Bizak and the Medzi that put, he goes, here's the referee. But what we believe, the conspiracy, is that because you guys complained so much about the referee, they're going to try to, you know, appease you guys tomorrow. Maybe a yellow for Tio, for, you know, because Tio, you know who Tio is, guys? Tio is the guy that everybody fucking hates, but you would love to be it on your team, right? Just love to be
on
your team.
Hey, listen, he's in my fantasy. He starts every week on my fantasy. He said, yeah. I think he's a fantastic player.
Let's go with this, guys. It's been an hour and 10 minutes. I love discussing this kind of stuff. Hopefully you guys watch with friends, with family, by yourselves. Do you guys have a ritual for tomorrow? Do you watch by yourselves because you're too nervous? Do you need to be like, don't everybody leave me alone? No social media. And that's one thing that I tell people, and I'm going to tell them once again, get off your fucking phones when you're watching a match, people. Yeah. I don't need no notification, right? But what's your ritual, guys? What is your day going to look like tomorrow? You waking up having margarita pizza for breakfast?
Maybe.
No, margarita is for lunch.
I'm going to do the rosary in front of Padre Pio. And you know,
Padre Pioli. Padre Pioli. Okay, thank you.
No, we're going to take out our San Gennaro figurine. You know, we're going to put him down there. We're going to take out our little lucky horns, right? And put it down here.
Yeah.
I got to wear 6 layers of Napoli stuff, you know, hat included, a mutanda as well. You know, but, you know, honestly, what I don't look like one thing I hate the most is working during a game. I hate it with a passion. I cannot stand it. Sometimes I have to. So against Verona, I had to. Most of the group stage, I had to. But these games are way too big. And I can't just sit at home watching it, try to be quiet, upstairs, neighbor, blah, 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 blah. So Raf Biz and I, we're going to figure it out. We're going to get together. I took the day off. We're going to be down. We're going to figure something out. We're going to be downstate somewhere. Similar to how, you know, Vinny came and dropped this off to me, right? And yeah. Milan Club Montreal, thank you, Vinny, for this. On the other side, this has your name written all over it, Tri-State Napoli Club. I'm going to send this to you. I'm going to get your address after this and send it up to you. Hopefully it gets there fast enough and, you know, passes customs. There's not going to be anything else with it, so it should. But
thank you.
That's what we're going to do. Yeah, so like for the festivities, like for this game, if we go beyond this game in the Champions League, and then we're also cooking some stuff up for Scudetto parties, right, like clinchers. I will be in Napoli for like the final game of the season to celebrate, you know, the Scudetto, lifting the trophy, this and that, and just having a party, right?
See, Steve, but yeah, ask him what he's doing tomorrow. He's already telling us where he's going
to
be.
I'm just letting you know, for these big occasions, I like to get with my friends. I like to get with my people. And there's not a lot of people where I live, so I go downstate and I hang with all the friends down there. So
I just go where the wind blows, you know. Mm-hmm. If I'm not home, I'm somewhere with the friends, guys. But listen, can I – we're going to – I know we got to wrap up. I got to say one thing because I didn't really get to respond about what to expect. I'm a little bit with Stevie. Maybe it's too fucking late, but I'm still
going to – We don't have to really wrap it up. I was just saying because we could keep on talking for another hour.
Sure, you know, no, but saying. I know. But I know that's why I say we got to wrap it up. Please, so, no, please. We're here for 2 hours. Guys, like, I mean, Rafa spoke about Osimhen, and yes, that's going to make a difference in the front line. But what the real difference is the turnovers in the midfield. And that's why I'm kind of going to piggyback off Steve a little bit as far as – what to expect for results tomorrow. Even before we played you in the Campionato and even for the first round, one of the things I said is that Milan will make you pay. It doesn't matter what kind of form you guys are in, because against these big games, you're going to show up. All right? And if you make a mistake, you're going to pay for it. Giroud will make you pay for something. Leao will make you pay for it. We saw what Diaz did. I mean, shit, we even saw what Salamakers did, right? Let's keep it real, which was a big surprise for you guys. If you look at the 4-0, if you look at that 4-0 score, right? Look how many turnovers and mistakes happened to get to that score. Now, I don't want to take away anything what Milan does or how they play. I don't want to take anything away. But Napoli made a lot of mistakes. And I think even for that one goal that you scored in the first, I think it came from a turnover, right? And it came from a stupid play where, I don't know, the book on Rui just miscommunicated, let the guy go.
They didn't want to kiss. They didn't want to dance at the ball.
Right. What a move by Brahim to get the ball to lay out. What a touch. Was just great.
Hold on, Rafa. So if you guys really want to know what's going to be an important factor in this game, is Napoli going to show up with their right mentality and not make those stupid mistakes? Don't forget, in that 4-0 loss, we have Osimhen is out. Granted, we had Simeone, who didn't play much. We had a imploding tifoseria, right, in the stadium. We had a feud between the president and these guys. They were silent. Milan came to the Maradona practically as a home game. Their fans had flares and banners and drums, and we didn't. You know, that put once they scored that first goal, it just put all the wind into their sails. It gave them all the momentum, and Milan ran with it, and Napoli had no response, and we lost the game. I think we came out much better in the first round. We only lost 1-0 in your home, right? We almost scored two right away in the first minute or two. We almost scored a goal. All right. Yeah. Again, not to take away Milan's play. You won fair and square. The ref, not so crazy about, but still. All right. Not having a good striker is going to make a difference. So, yes, Osimhen and Cavada together is going to give hell to your back line. And we're going to need them, though, to score the goals to win. But if we give up the ball in places we shouldn't give up the ball, and Milan comes on a counterattack, they're going to make us pay. So Milan have to be ready and tight in the midfield, like Stevie said, and Napoli have to keep their heads on a swivel and make sure they're not giving up the ball, because you got quick wingers and you got Giroud with tons. Is Giroud playing, by the way? I read a report that he might not play.
No, he's back.
Okay, that's a guy who'll make you pay.
Photos of him in training, moving.
Okay, good. I'm glad he's moving. You know, but Giroud is one of those guys. Again, he has enough experience. He'll make you pay.
Done it before.
And that's what I'm afraid of. Milan is Milan messing up. I'm sorry, Napoli messing up. Milan taking advantage, because they will, and Napoli can't do that. So I think tomorrow's a coin toss. I think it's a coin toss. It's about Napoli showing up, and it's about Milan taking advantage. And I think that's what it's going to come down to.
All right.
It's going to be a good game.
Either way. Before any superstitions, Rafa said that he's got the mutante ready for tomorrow. How about you? Any superstitions?
None. I don't fuck superstition. I don't believe in any of that. All right. It's about 22 people getting on the pitch and playing their hearts out. I believe in the human element. I don't believe in any superstition.
Tongue in cheek. I don't have Napoli drawers.
Sure you don't. Sure.
I don't. I really don't. I got Christmas ones on right now.
Rafa, actually. someone's making a gif of you in Napoli underwears right now.
There. I have mine because I have the third version of the jacket, the army green, and every time I've worn and we lost. So I'm gonna wear exactly what I wore when I was in New York. I wore the exact same jacket on game one, so I'm gonna wear that tomorrow. I'm going to go. I took the day off. I was able to take the day off. So I'm going to go over to our local bar. I'm going to be watching with our Milan Club brothers and sisters. Stevie P, did you manage to do anything? You don't have any superstitions, Steve.
I have no superstitions. I watch soccer. That's what I cannot control. That's what Rob, they do on the, I cannot control what they do on the pitch. Rob. I will be pissed off. I will scream. I will yell, but I have no superstition. Whatever I feel like wearing tomorrow, I'll wear.
Or that guy always comes with, he has that little picture of a Madonna in his jacket, and he brings it every single game. It's not like it's still crimpled and everything, but he brings it every single time. You would think this guy is like in the 60s, 70s. I think he's like 22, 23 years old, and he always comes in. Vinny, I brought it. It's okay for him. Anyway, superstitions or not, we shall see what tomorrow comes up. Are you guys coming back with Gio and Fabio tomorrow, or you guys doing your own podcast tomorrow? Reaction podcast. What's the plan for the Napoli Rant podcast?
What is the plan? I think we have
Wednesday. We might be doing an Instagram live.
Yeah, we started this Instagram live thing, and we're going to start doing Twitter spaces as well. So we're kind of branching away from this. Is going to be our proper show for the week. Thank you for having us, and thank you for letting us
come in,
and thank you for the simulcast. I really love it. Like, this is the normal time we do our thing. So I like how both shows had the option to watch both of us, right? That was really cool. I think that was really cool.
We gained some haters. You gained some haters. You
see, I love it. They're watching us. It doesn't, because they're hating. Haters mean that you're relevant, right? I mean, you have a hater means you're a relevant person, right? It's in my opinion. But
nobody can hate you if you're not doing anything, you know?
Right. So. Listen, we could if they want to hate so bad, then why don't they do
it? It's just so funny because sometimes the comments that you guys probably get that we get, it's like we're actually broadcaster journalists, and we are speaking facts, you know, that no, this is our opinion. Yeah, but your opinion, we're not allowed to have an opinion, but it keeps on being entertaining. Gentlemen, may the best team win tomorrow, right?
Oh, my best team, you mean Napoli, right?
I was going to say, you want to end the show like, with a bit of a little
banter. I got to give it to you guys a little bit.
Banter, yeah, a little bit.
Siamo noi.
No, non siamo napoletani.
That's what we're going to be saying.
I've been trying to start a counter saying, grazie a Dio, siamo napoletani. But I don't think it's caught on yet. So I'll keep on doing it. All right. Grazie a Dio. All
right. It's too many syllables, Ralph. I think we went over this already.
It's the same amount of syllables.
No, guys, honestly, it's fun. This is what it should all be about. Friendly banter. Even sure. I'm sure if we were watching the game together, if it was game one about the refereeing, we'd be yelling and screaming at each other. And at the end of the game, we'd be hugging and having a beer together. That's what it should be, right?
That's what it should be.
Steve, yeah, any final words for our guests?
Again, for me, it's Champions League football. That's why we play the season, to get to these Tuesday and Wednesday games. And we're in the quarterfinals. I just want to see a good game. I just want them both to leave everything out there. This is what it is. It's the last leg of the quarterfinal. Again, I don't care how I win. I really don't. Ugly goal, off a head, off a shin. I really couldn't care less. I'm a Milan fan. I want Milan to win. But again, I have no control over that. So we're playing the team that's top of Italy right now. And we have to come up, and we have to come up with a convincing way to win in their home ground, which will be very, very interesting to see tomorrow.
And on that note, I like to end it as ovunque e sempre, Forza Milan. But I'm not going to end it like this, because I'm going to give you the opportunity. How do you guys close your little show there? Forza la Margherita Pizza. Forza
No.
Well, that's how we usually put some closing music on, and then we wait another 20 minutes to get out of here. Yeah, it's called the Napolitan goodbye, right?
Napolitan goodbye. But it's always Forza Napoli sempre. They know. The chat knows.
From the Napoli.
Well, lately it's Forza Napoli sempre, and then I chime in right before we go off with Campioni d'Italia. So.
Okay.
Forza Napoli sempre, guys.
Ovunque sempre. Forza Milan. We shall see each other soon. And to everybody, have fun. Don't get into fights and don't get arrested. It's not worth it. May we bring to the eyes of the world tomorrow. Let's have a great game and let's not have any controversies. Till next time, guys. Thanks. Have a good night.
Ciao, guys. Ciao.
Forza Napoli.
Forza Milan.